You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. You guys have a seat. Welcome to Makers Church. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here. We haven't met yet. Thanks, Kyle. It's good to see you guys. I'm excited to be here. I'm not going to lie, though. My body has no idea what time it is. I just got in from Africa yesterday, and it was like, yeah, woo, Africa, yeah. Give it up for Africa. Yeah, it was like 45 hours of travel by myself, and I probably got about 3 hours of sleep in that time. I don't sleep well on planes, so my body has no idea what's going on. It's weird, too, because I flew entirely around the globe. I went from L.A. to London to Africa, and then the way back, I went from Africa to Hong Kong to L.A., so I went around the whole thing, which was not the plan. I was supposed to get in Thursday, but my wife and I were staying in Mozambique, Africa, and we were going to fly from Mozambique to Johannesburg. And there's only one airline, LAM, LAM airline. It's the worst, the absolute worst. And it goes from Mozambique to Johannesburg, and there's one plane a day, and this tiny little airport. And it's so funny, there's about 20 workers there. I don't know what they're doing. They're just sitting around. And you show up, and there's this little x-ray machine, and you put your bags through. And I put my bags through, and they wanted to see the inside of it, but I had it all zip-tied, because every time you fly LAM, something gets stolen, or the bags get lost, so you got to zip tie them, so the crew doesn't steal stuff. And they wanted to open it up. I'm like, I don't have anything to open up with. And they sat there for about 20 seconds, and like, man, just go through. Which kind of sums up, this is LAM airline. Anyways, I sat there waiting for the plane for about 6 hours, never came, which the problem was that ruined my flight from Johannesburg to London, et cetera, et cetera. And we had these super thrifty, AKA very cheap, very ghetto tickets to get home. And so they're non-refundable, non-transferable. Long time making lots of phone calls. Finally bought a whole new ticket through China to get here so I could be here today. So I'm here. I'm excited to be here. I have like vertigo from the plane still. I'm still like moving around. Are you guys moving around? I'm moving around. But anyways, I had a blast. I was in Africa for 2 weeks with my wife. She's actually still there. We were visiting her sister and her sister's husband who live there. And they've been doing missions work there for about 10 years. And now they're transitioning into creating this artisan center where they're creating jobs for local Mozambicans. And we got to do a thing with Yumi Clothing, which is my wife's nonprofit. Through it, we were able to fund the repair of 2 water wells. Because a lot of times people will build water wells but not teach the locals how to fix it. So when it breaks, there's no more water. So it's nice that we get to fund the new supplies and the training of this. So it was so cool to be a part of that. I got to spend time with my new nephew, Ama, who's amazing. He's a local Mozambican kid who started hanging out with Luke and Chris maybe 5 years ago. Both of his parents had passed away. No education, just living on the beach there. And they just started inviting him over for dinner. And through the course of years, he started hanging out with Luke and Chris more and more and more. And eventually, a few years ago, they said, you know what? We need to adopt this kid. Never in the plan. And so they did that. It's been a crazy process. Mozambique is nuts. It's taken like 3.5 years. Luke's had to travel out into the bush to get random supposed relatives just to sign X on this paper that will then get lost, and you got a bribe. It's all this crazy thing. So he finally is officially adopted about a month ago. And then while we were there, he finally officially got his passport, which is incredible because that means they can finally come back to the U.S. because they couldn't leave during this process. So they've been there for 5 years. So that's why we went out there to go see our family and to be with Ama, my nephew, who's just freaking amazing kid. He's funny. He's just learning English, and he loves all the same things that I love. Like, he's learning drums, and he loves 90s movies, so he's quoting Sandlot and, like, Home Alone, and he's doing the Gollum voice from Lord of the Rings the whole time. I took him Space Jam, so we watched that about 4 times. If you haven't seen it, it's classic 90s movies, Michael Jordan, Looney Tunes. I think it won, like, 3 Oscars or something. It's so good. And I'm going to play this for you, because he just sent this to me, like, 10 minutes ago. And he calls me Tio, that means uncle in Portuguese. I call myself Uncle Tio, which means uncle, uncle. But I just got this from here. I'm going to see if you guys can hear it.
You want to see me eat this bennett?
Oh, that's the wrong video. Hold on. That's him eating a banana.
Hi, dear Mark. How are you? How was your flight? And did God protect you on the way? I just miss you and wanted to say hi. Okay. Miss you. Bye.
Dude, this kid is amazing. He's like the most kind-hearted, generous kid, and he's already blood to us. And one quick little thing I want to share, too, before we left, our elder Evan and his wife, Pastor Jessica, unbeknownst to me and Lauren, just decided to text a bunch of you guys, just sharing the story of Luke and Chris and Amma, and a lot of you donated money out of nowhere, which helped pay for the final passport process. And we got to give a card from you guys to Luke and Chris. And Chris, my wife's sister, starts bawling, and I start bawling. And she's like, who are these people who care about us across the world who we've never met? I'm like, man, that's Maker's Church. That's my church. That's you guys. Anyways, all that to say, amazing trip. Apparently, my hair is a big deal there. I had my hair down a lot. And I overheard two of the Mozambican women who were talking, and they were talking in English. And they're like, did you see the hair of the sister's husband? And they said, it's like a lion's mane. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's like a lion's mane. And then Julia's one of their friends. She's like, if I had his hair, I would wake up crying every morning. But not tears of sadness, tears of joy. And I'm like, man, I'm going to shave this soon. I'm going to locks of love. I'm going to send over my locks to Julia so she can just walk around Africa rocking my weird, long, curly hair. I would just kind of strut past and be like, I'm a lion, lion's mane. Guys, I'm jet lagged. I don't even know what I'm saying. But I'm back. I'm here. And today, like Corey said, is a very, very special Sunday because it is called Freedom Sunday. What that means is we are partnering with IJM, International Justice Mission. It is the largest anti-slavery organization in the world. There's over 2,500 churches across the globe who on this Sunday are partnering with them to talk about this issue of slavery. There are 45 million people currently in the world today in slavery, whether that's through sex slavery, forced labor, all different forms. That's more slaves than there's ever been. Sometimes we think of slavery as this old thing that was hundreds of years ago and we kind of got rid of that, but no, slavery is very much alive today. And so we, as a church, are partnering with IJM. We're going to talk about this more later in the gathering, to talk about this issue and to help rally around this cause so that we, the church, can be a part of fighting and combating and bringing freedom to those in slavery, in bondage. And before we start to unpack that, I want to just give a few quick expectations for this morning. I'm not going to talk too long because I want to leave some time. We're going to interview some people who have done lots of work with IJM, so I want to give time for that. But I want you to know that this morning is not about guilt. It's not about shame. It is not about anything to shock or sensationalize the issue. But we are going to talk about some real stuff, because Jesus never shied away from that. And I'm not trying to be political with anything I say, but the truth of Jesus absolutely should influence the way we see the world, and it should influence our politics. And I'm not going to sanitize scriptures. I'm not going to whitewash the words of Jesus, and neither should you. So we're going to lean into that today. We're going to unpack scriptures and see what did Jesus say about this issue. And hopefully that can transform us. Because it's so easy for us to take our current worldview, our current political view, whatever it is, and project that onto Jesus, onto the church, onto scriptures. We find the things we like and we ignore the things we don't to justify our own behavior, which is usually steeped in our own desire for comfort and safety. But we need to let Jesus transform us and change us, because I'm convinced that when you wrestle with these things, and I don't know all the answers, I'm trying to wrestle with it too, but when you wrestle with the words of Jesus, they will inevitably change you. His words are powerful, they cut like a two-edged sword, they make you uncomfortable, they make you squeamish, they will challenge you, and that's a beautiful thing. So we're going to dive into that for just a bit here. The first of three points that I want to talk about with this issue is first that the mission of Jesus is and should be the mission of the church. And I spoke about this about a month ago, that the mission of Jesus was to bring about his kingdom. And his kingdom is defined by freedom. When Jesus begins his ministry in Luke, he starts with this. He unravels the scroll of Isaiah and he reads these words in front of everyone. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And he has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free." At the very beginning, Jesus says, "I have come to bring about freedom and to bring sight to the blind." Because a lot of us, if we're honest, are very, very blind to these things. We're so focused on a million other things in our life that are right in front of us that we are blind to the realities around us, realities that there are 45 million people currently in bondage right now. He says, "I come to give you sight and to set people free." And really, this has been the story of all of scriptures, this idea of taking people from slavery into freedom. This theme, this meta-narrative keeps recurring and recurring. You see at the beginning with the people of Israel who are trapped in bondage in Egypt. And God comes and he sets them free. But we see throughout the entire Old Testament that the people of Israel keep wanting to step back into bondage because sometimes that's easier than being free. We saw that a few weeks ago when Derek was speaking, that when they get out of Egypt and they finally start to run into struggle, into resistance, they get mad at Moses and say, "Moses, why have you taken us here? Take us back to Egypt. It was easier there." And we see over and over again the people of Israel slipping back. And that's why I think when in Galatians Paul says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Do not submit yourselves back into the yoke of slavery." Jesus says, "I have set you free for freedom's sake, but you're going to want to travel back into slavery. Don't let it happen. Those around you, the world around you is going to try to create bondage and chains. Don't let that happen. The mission of Jesus is the mission of church, and it's all about freedom." I love, too, that sometimes we want to separate the spiritual from the physical when it comes to living out what Jesus calls us to do. We want to do things that seem spiritual, but we sometimes ignore the physical. It's this idea where James talks about in Scripture. He says, if someone comes to you who's hungry and naked, don't say to them, "Be well, be fed, be warm, be blessed," and send them on their way. James literally says, what good does that do? Instead, give them some clothing, give them some food, offer them your home. That is the gospel. And he says, just in the same way that faith is dead without works, our love, our activity as a church is empty if we ignore the physical realities of the world, like these issues like slavery. We can't not just be satisfied with coming here and singing songs and meeting in community groups and doing these amazing things and ignore the realities all around us. Listen to this here. It says this in Micah. This is a book from the Old Testament, and it's 8 chapters long, and it's just cycle and cycle of Israel doing corrupt things. They're falling back into bondage, and they're doing corrupt things. Their government is oppressive. They're greedy. They're violent. And it says this. God says, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" What they're saying is, God's saying, you've been doing these corrupt, evil, greedy, selfish things for years, but then you come to my temple and you offer me sacrifices. You do all these spiritual activities, you go through these rituals, and you think it's pleasing to me. And God says, or Micah says this, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." He says, you're complicating things. You're making it messy and complicated, and you're trying to cover your guilt, you're trying to cover your greed with all these religious activities. He says, I just want you to obey what I've been saying from the beginning. I want you to step into freedom and to act justly, to love mercy, love compassion, love forgiveness, love kindness, and to walk with God. Jesus echoes these words 1,000 years later in Matthew, where he says this. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, cumin. That sounds delicious, actually. Haven't eaten in a long time either, so. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. He says, you religious people, you're even tithing and giving money to the church, money to the community, but you're neglecting the more important things of the law. See, there are things, there is a priority to things. He says, you're neglecting justice. There are people around you suffering injustice. You're neglecting mercy and you're neglecting faithfulness. He said, you should have done it all, but most importantly, focus on the latter part. Sometimes I get frustrated when I see people calling themselves believers and they choose to fight over things like Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays, or the Ten Commandments on the wall in this building or that building, when they are not even concerned with the injustice that's happening around us, the systematic racism we have in our society, the inequality we see in wealth, these government systems, these business systems that oppress the poor, and they favor those who already have much. And I'm saying this because Jesus talked about this. I'm not trying to be political per se, but this is what Jesus says. He says, how can you neglect the injustice? How can you neglect that and focus on these things that don't really matter as much? There are more important things in this world. So we as the church, we cannot turn a blind eye to things like sex trafficking and human trafficking. We cannot be blind because Jesus says, I have come to give you sight to things, again, in our own country, like systematic racism. It's a real thing. It's been happening for a very, very long time. It's not new. The slavery we experience in this country, the legacy of it is not gone yet. And we as the church should be outraged. We should be infuriated by the injustice we see, and then we should step forward with love and mercy. But we must step forward with truth and grace and power as well. That is the mission of Jesus. That is the mission of the church. Secondly here, a point I want to make about slavery is this idea too that slavery and freedom actually have sort of this proximity effect to it. Meaning that when people are in bondage, it influences those around them. And when people step into freedom, it influences those around them as well. So we can influence people negatively when we are in bondage, and we can influence people positively when we step into freedom. And I've been saying this number a few times now, 45 million people in slavery. That number is actually so much higher than that. Because slavery is absolutely real and present in this country today. It just looks different. We are absolutely slaves to consumerism, to materialism. Materialism, that's the word I'm going for. I just made up some word there. But we are absolutely slaves to our need to impress others, to find our worth from the validation and the affirmation of others. We think that having the best clothes or the best toys or the best car or the best home will give us some sense of meaning and purpose. We are addicted to substance. More than ever, people are addicted to painkillers, prescription drugs, illegal drugs, pornography, sex. These things are just as much slave drivers in our lives than someone being chained to a desk somewhere in India. Because they control us, they dictate our decisions, they influence us. We can no more break free from their bonds than that boy over there working in a brick factory in India. And see, the problem is our slavery here in the West oftentimes fuels the demand for the slavery in places that are developing like China and Southeast Asia and Africa. Because we need the best new cell phone or we need the best clothing and we don't really care the cost of it. We don't really care. And so our demand fuels it. What infuriates me too is so much of the sex trade that exists in Asia is fueled by demand from Western men. Men from Europe and America and Australia who go over there to have sex with young girls. And it's the demand. If the demand went away, those things would begin to diminish, right? We're going to talk about how IJM is this beautiful organization that goes into these places and they actually help free women from the sex trade. And they help prosecute the pimps and the systems that control them. And they help create new laws in these countries to help bring about justice, and they actually have centers where they can do therapy and healing for these women. But again, until the demand begins to dry up, there's always going to be someone who's willing to make a dollar off of exploitation and people. So for us to see freedom begin to take hold in the world, we need to see freedom take hold in us first. And we cry out again, like I said a month ago, we cry out and say, God, why isn't your kingdom coming? Why don't you go fix that? And God's saying, why do you think I sent you? Why do you think you're here, church? You're supposed to love justice and mercy. I've come to open your eyes to these things so you cannot hide behind ignorance. You can no longer say, I didn't know. Because that's what we're talking about. You know, these things exist. Again, our own slavery and our own desire to have these things creates a demand that fuels the bondage around the world. So we must become aware of that and step into that and begin to ask for forgiveness of it and to seek freedom. Because one of the most subtle forms of slavery, too, is just this ubiquitous, prevalent slavery to self. It's so pervasive that it's become normative. We don't even realize it's there. I love that David Foster Wallace, a beautiful writer and essayist, said it like this in his teaching called This Is Water. He said there were these two young fish who were swimming along one day, and they pass this older fish who says, hey boys, how's the water? And then swims along. And then the two young fish travel on for a bit before they stop and look confused at each other and say, what's water? And his parable is to reveal this truth that sometimes we aren't even aware of how steeped we are in our own slavery, again, to defining our worth by what culture says, by what the world says, by needing these things and these possessions. And God says, I want to break you free from that. I want to break you free from that. And I want to break you free from the slavery you have to safety and to comfort as well. I think sometimes we're afraid to step into these issues because we're afraid the cost it's going to put on us. We're going to have to get our hands dirty, and that's uncomfortable. I'm reminded of Jesus when he's telling his disciples, his followers, that he's going to go to the cross and die so that he can bring freedom to humanity. And his right-hand man, Peter, says, no, you can't do that. You can't go die. I'm not going to allow that. And you think Jesus would say, man, Peter, thank you for getting my back. But he says, no, Peter, he says, get behind me, Satan. He says, you are thinking like the world, not thinking like God. He says, get behind me, Satan. And I wonder if Jesus responds so harshly because the human side of him knows the seductive nature of comfort and safety and wanting just to stay in our own bubbles, close our ears to everything around us. Jesus knows the appeal and the allure of that, and he says, no, that needs to get behind us because we got work to do. We can no longer think like the world. We need to think like God, and he wants to set us free. And the last point I want to make before we dive in to some other cool things is this truth that the best way to live out freedom and to multiply freedom is to serve. Serving others with others is the fastest way to the heart of Jesus because it says in scriptures that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to be a ransom for many. Meaning he came to be the freedom price for us. There have been many religious teachers and philosophers or political leaders who have come to bring about a new way of thinking or a new this or a new that. But no one else has come. The King of the universe came and said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And it says this in Galatians 5. It says, for you have been called to live in freedom. Amen. My brothers and sisters, but hear this. But do not use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Don't use your freedom to stay in these cycles that you've been trapped in. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole of the law can be summed up in one command: love your neighbor as you love yourself. Man, the best way to express freedom is to serve. That makes no sense. It's a paradox. It defies logic, but that's the way of Jesus. You want a better marriage? Serve your spouse. This week, think of ways that you can intentionally serve them. You want a better work environment? Learn to serve your coworkers well. Be intentional about serving your boss well. Serve those you lead well. I don't do that all the time. I need to get better at that. If you're lonely, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling isolated, if you're feeling depressed, maybe try looking outside of yourself and serving others. I know in my own life, when I get anxious and things get dark, it's because I'm just thinking about myself over and over and over again. And I just begin to cycle and loop and I can't get out of it. And the exit door is to go serve the way that Jesus calls us to. And I begin to experience freedom and adventure and joy and release from the shackles of slavery. And then I can become equipped and empowered to bring about freedom in other people's lives. Because I'm not just thinking of myself and focused on my own needs. I can actually think about those who are in bondage. And my freedom has a proximity effect, and they begin to get set free. And the kingdom of God expands and grows, and this world is changed for the better. We have to step into God's grace for that. As I wrap up and close here, I would love for us to close our eyes. And I'm going to read a passage from Isaiah. It says this: shout it aloud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right, and that has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? We have humbled ourselves and you have not noticed. Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and you exploit all of your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed or for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? No, is not this the kind of fasting that I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide a poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be at your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer and you will cry for help and he will say, here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of the finger and the malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. God, I pray that you are true to your promise and you open our eyes, God. open our blind eyes to see the need within us and the need around us. And God, draw us to you, the one who came to serve, the one who came to set us free through your death and your resurrection and your life, God. Your mission is to bring about freedom and reconciliation, and you call us into that. May we be a people that does not ignore that or get caught in the weeds, but may we focus on the things that are more important: justice, mercy, faithfulness, and love. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. We're going to watch a little video here in a second.
We all know the Good Samaritan story. Two other people walked past this man who was hurt and wounded. There was one person who stopped, picked him up, and paid for his care. It didn't take too much. It just required him to stop and actually pay attention that somebody is suffering, pay attention that somebody is wounded. Now, Jesus talked to us about this parable because he wants us to be like that Good Samaritan. You may be removed miles and miles away from where these things are happening, from where the crime of human trafficking or slavery is happening, but you're also very close to the heart of Jesus. He wants to extend his kingdom on this earth. And he doesn't just come from heaven and do it himself. He uses people like you and I. He uses us as his instruments. He uses our abilities to extend his kingdom. Do you want to be someone who stopped and decided, no, this is wrong. It cannot happen on my watch. It cannot happen in my time. And so the invitation is open.
If you are watching this, it is because you woke up this morning and made the choice to get here.
Golden stream.
And when you leave this place, you take it with you.
Our universe was clothed in light.
Right now, there are more than 45 million people around the world still bound in slavery, and that number is growing. IJM has a model that works, but we can't do more unless we have more help. So we are asking believers from around the world to take action and take us with you too. We call them Freedom Partners. When you become a Freedom Partner, you join a community that is actively praying, advocating, and spreading the word to get more people involved. By giving $24 a month or more, we can grow our global mission to find, rescue, and renew lives. Because lack of resources should never be the reason why we didn't end slavery.
Do you want to be one of them who walked past, or do you want to be someone who stopped and decided, no, this is wrong? It cannot happen on my watch. It cannot happen in my time. And so the invitation is open.
Join us and become a Freedom Partner today.
Yeah, you guys can clap it up for that. So we have a special treat today. We have someone with us who's part of our community. There she is. Give it up for Ashley Gutierrez. Have a seat. Ashley is amazing. She is a brilliant creative, and she is the founder and creative director of Cliffco, which is this phenomenal storytelling, filmmaking company. And you guys produced some of that video, and there's another video that we'll send out to the church that she produced as well that's beautiful and compelling. And you've done a lot of work with IJM, so thank you for being here. I'm going to do a little quick interview with Ashley so we can get a little more insight into the nuts and bolts of IJM and some ways that we can help around that. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks,
Give it up for Ashley one more time.
Thanks, guys.
So, Ashley, tell me how you first got connected with IJM. How did you start serving with them?
Sure. So, I used to work for a San Diego-based nonprofit called Invisible Children.
Woo.
Worked with women and children that had been abducted and forced to become child soldiers and sex slaves. So I started researching different organizations who are in that line of work and discovered IJM years ago and fell in love with their work. And then they called me and invited me to be a part of their first rescue mission in Ghana, in West Africa.
Got some photos.
And Ghana, just some context of the situation there, there's the largest man-made lake in the world called Lake Volta, where there's an estimated 7,000 to 20,000 young boys that are enslaved in the fishing industry. Really brutal conditions, working from sunrise to sunset. They're beaten if they don't perform well, if they don't catch enough fish. And IJM started their casework there in 2013, going on undercover investigations and interviewing hundreds and hundreds of boys about their experiences. And an IJM investigator met a young boy named Gideon who was just seared into his memory, and he kept a picture of him on his desk every day for almost 2 years, knowing that his work would be incomplete unless they rescued Gideon. So in March of 2015, I was able to go with IJM and document what they named Operation Gideon, which we went out and rescued a total of 9 boys, Gideon being one of them.
That's amazing. I love that.
Oh yeah, there he is. That's great.
You guys can clap it up.
Yeah, when we rescued Gideon, he didn't know his age. He didn't know how long he had been on the lake. But just within a few hours, you could see his demeanor completely changed from being shell-shocked into laughing and playing. And we were like coloring together and both like just communicating through pictures. And it was really beautiful.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about what you've learned or what you are learning through the process of working with these populations and doing this kind of work.
And look at my notes. Okay. So I have learned, and I think I will continually be learning, that God loves justice a lot. He's a God of justice. I'll be the first to admit that I can be at times a little bit cynical, just getting frustrated, like, God, where are you? Like, why aren't you showing up? Why is there so much suffering? And just overwhelmed, because as you said earlier, there are more people enslaved than any other time in human history, which blows my mind. But I owe a lot of my spiritual journey to Maker's Church and to IJM, because through this work, I've realized that we are God's answer to injustice, and we get the incredible honor of being his hands and feet and showing up to do this kind of work. And I've also learned to temper feelings of being overwhelmed about all of the bad things that are going on, and learning to celebrate the one, to celebrate Gideon. And when I think of IJM's work, I think of the parable of the lost sheep. Like, you go out and you look for the lost sheep until he's found, and then you throw him over your shoulder and you rejoice. And so to celebrate the small wins and see God working through people.
That's one of the most beautiful, compelling parables of Jesus. Mm-hmm. He leaves the 99 to find the one, to find the Gideon, mm-hmm. and does not rest until he's brought them home. Mm-hmm. I love that. What are some other things that you would love to share with Maker's Church or with any church, with your, you know, the body of Christ? What would you want to share with them, invite them into, challenge them with, related to these issues?
Yeah. So one of my heroes is actually the founder of International Justice Mission. His name is Gary Haugen. And he says something that I really love, and it is that prayer without action is futile, and action without prayer is futile, and to pursue both things relentlessly in the work of justice. And just for a little bit of insight, IJM, I think, has 17 field offices around the world, and every day, it's either 9:30 or 10 a.m., all of them pray. They pray about their successes. They pray about their needs. And prayer is a big need for them. You can go to their website and sign up to get prayer requests and join them in that. And another big thing is money and resources. I've traveled quite a bit with IJM and can wholeheartedly stand behind every dollar that goes to that organization and that it is attached to rescue and to bring people home. And one of the verses that I like to associate with IJM's work is Exodus 4:2, when the Lord asked Moses, like, what do you have in your hand? And he replied, my staff. And so he used that to lead people out of Egypt. And I think of that, like, what do I have in my hand? For me, it's my camera and at times my checkbook. For you guys, it could be prayer or it could be creativity. But there is a way to get involved and to help in slavery in a lot of capacities. So I love IJM. I'll be back at the table to talk more about their work if you guys want to learn about them.
I love that concept you shared of Exodus, where God's like, what do you have right now? Like, that's enough. Start with what you have to make a difference. And like you said, for you it's a camera. For us it could be a million other things, but it shouldn't stop us from actually stepping into these issues and living out the gospel. So that's incredible. And yeah, like Ashley said, she's going to be in the back right after the gathering at the Connect Table area to talk more about how you can get involved with IJM, how you could donate. And we're going to also have some other people in our community. Deanna will be out there talking about a refugee tutoring that we do through Makers Church. Sarah will be here talking about our local homeless ministries. I'll be back there if you want to talk about the stuff we do in Mexico or in Africa through UME. There are so many ways that you can get involved and really be a part of the solution and being part of bringing freedom to these issues. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks,
I'm going to invite the band up right now, and I'm going to share just one more scripture here. You can stay, actually. We'll just real quick.
Great. Settle in.
We're comfy here. I'm tired. I haven't sat in a while. You know, actually, I sat for hours on the plane. I want to wrap up with this in Galatians. I love the scripture where it says this. It says, for God sent him, meaning Jesus, to buy freedom for us. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out Abba, Father, to call out Daddy. And it says, now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. And what that means is God says, you are my heir. I've freed you from slavery. You are my child and my heir. And an heir inherits the power and inherits the resources of the Father. And they also inherit the mission of the Father. So Jesus, who is all about bringing sight to the blind and bringing freedom to people like Gideon, freedom to the oppressed, he says, that is now your legacy. And I will be with you along the way. We've got work to do, church. And we don't have to do it alone because we have God's Spirit within us. And we have each other. And together we can end slavery. And we can help set each other free. So as we step into this next song, and you guys can begin planning, we're going to actually have our prayer team up here at the front. And if you would like prayer for anything in your life, if you need freedom in your own life, if you've been trapped in just relationship cycles or addiction of any kind, or just, man, you're like, I have been so utterly self-consumed, not even thinking about others. I need God to release me from that, to forgive me, and to take me into a new life. They want to pray with you. And also, if you additionally want to pray for what Ashley talked about, if you want to pray for IJM and the work they're doing and for this concept of Freedom Sunday, this team would love to pray with you as well. And thirdly, if you're just too scared to get in the front and you want to pray with people around you, if you're feeling called or compelled to just grab the person next to you, if they're a stranger, and pray with them, or ask if you can pray over them, do that. I want this space to be full of prayer. Like Ashley said, the work we do needs our prayer to fuel us and to empower us through God's Spirit. So thank you so much for being here. thank you for listening to this. I pray that God inspires you out of your comfort zone into action. We love you guys. Let's worship together. Thank you.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.